Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. Scally and I are here today celebrating our 10-year anniversary. We could not be more excited here on this network. So I'm glad that we are here because we have two shows to talk about today. The Challenge, Season 37, of course, and All-Star Season 2 has begun. So, Scally, happy 10-year anniversary to us.
Oh, I'm so glad we are here for what is our 10-year anniversary. We started this podcast to talk about the Bananas CT backpack moment. And so in honor of it, we are actually going to be recapping that episode once again.
Yeah, I'm married now. I have two kids, a really happy life. And I'm just back here in this podcast to see what I've got, see if I still can do it, you know, all these years later.
Oh, I like other Derek have not grown up at all. So that's my contribution to what's been going on.
great start here. We have a lot of stuff to talk about here with two episodes of The Challenge. One, of course, from the season we've been watching for months now, the season 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies, and the premiere of All-Stars 2. So ready to get into all of it. Thanks again to Anna, by the way, for joining us last week. That was a lot of fun. And, of course, got some very good feedback on that one. Everybody loves hearing from the casual Anna perspective. So great time there, but we're gonna keep on going into plenty more to come.
Yeah, ton of fun on that podcast, and great energy. From Anna will be missed this week.
Yes. So we're gonna start with season 37, as we have been talking about this season for weeks now, and we got plenty more to talk about. But honestly, I don't know if I just have more notes or what the case is, but I feel like, and you just said this before we started, I feel like there's a lot to talk about with this episode. So, you know, sorry to anybody who was maybe hoping that we were going to get right to All Stars. We will get there, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of 37 first.
Yeah, I mean, especially I think with this episode of season 37 versus this episode of All Stars, I think that in particular there is much more to say on the main series, so I think best to stick with tradition and also where we have more to say and go to the regular show first.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time here. We're gonna get back to the house of season 37 here. We're going to see Logan, of course, switch teams after Corey is now out of the game. And quick reactions here, seeing that Nelson is going to kind of confront him about it and be like, so why didn't you come back to Ruby? Because whatever. But CT's happy to have Logan, and, you know, CT's going to be beating the drum of like, I really like this team, which hard to blame him, especially after they're going to win the challenge this week. So, that's just all we're really going to get on Logan this week, but just to follow up on all that.
I have some questions. First of all, I love how Nelson was like, I can I just get an explanation? And he's like, yeah, the person who is no longer on the team anymore, they betrayed me, so I left because I don't trust you guys anymore. It's like, well, he's gone, so that has no impact on future team. But Nelson buys it, like, I completely understand, no problem. Okay, sure, whatever, you know, works. And as for CT being happy to have Logan, like, is Logan better than Kyle, especially Logan, who may or may not still be injured?
Is Logan better than Kyle? I think yes.
Ooh, I think no.
I think Kyle is definitely, you know, he proves himself time and time again in the eliminations, but as far as taking the game seriously, he doesn't. And I think that CT's looking for a reliable somebody that he can like mold into the palm of his hand as they get closer and closer to the final. And I feel like CT, like I was thinking about this later in the episode, is getting like World of Worlds 2 vibes from his team, which is obviously he won that one. It was him, Jordan, Rogan, D, and Tori running that final until Tori kind of.
You named like five names I never want to hear again.
Those are your challenge champions from a couple seasons ago. I'm sorry. So I feel like he's kind of getting a bit of the same vibe of like, there's some of these pieces are kind of fitting in similarly to the winning equation that he had there. And, you know, he has Ashley by his side this time where, you know, him and Ashley always work together well. And I don't know, I just feel like he sees Logan and Emmy as like, this can really work for him. So I'm not surprised that he's feeling this way.
I am surprised. I feel like CT and Kyle, like, while they're friends, have like a weird working relationship. So I guess exactly. From that perspective, I understand. But like, yeah, I get that Kyle doesn't come off the most serious. And like, even this episode is going to drop a bunch of jokes in moments where everyone else takes the game really seriously. But I don't think that Kyle doesn't take the competition seriously. Like, I think he shows up to legitimately compete. He's going to run that final to the best of his ability, which I think that ability is better than what I've seen from Logan so far, especially not being 100% sure how that injury is going to uphold.
Yeah, and as far as Nelson goes and all this, the scene of Kyle and Devin watching Nelson, you know, wandering up and down that path in their little courtyard, like, I miss Corey, I miss Berna, poor Nelson. I mean, the guy's just going on a morning stroll.
Where else does he have to go in this house?
I know.
Like, I just don't know how Nelson is filling his time. I really feel for him. You're not allowed to, like, watch TV or anything. So, like, who is Nelson hanging out with? I'm not sure.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, we see later in the episode, Amanda talks about, you know, I only have Nelson in this house. So I guess that they'd been, you know, getting closer again after a tumultuous season between that group. But I don't know.
I would say questionable, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Amanda, we see Tori and Casey, you know, play fighting in the kitchen. Tori's giving confessionals about how strong Emerald still is, and they can't believe that they've been together for so long and nobody's tried to break them up yet. Foreshadowing. Just this is continuing. I feel like this isn't by any means the first time we've heard this, won't be the last, of how much Amanda does not like Tori, thinking she's super overrated and she smells and she's dumb and she's annoying and she's ugly and she's this and she's that. So no love here.
Yeah, we say the challenge edit is unpredictable at times, but they really like beat us over the head with the club of this edit. Tori doesn't trust Amanda, and Amanda doesn't trust Tori, and it's like, okay, we get it. The entire 90 minutes were filled with like what is going to happen by the end of the episode.
Yeah, and I have no idea. Like, is there any Fessy related leftover drama here? You know, both of them had that connection within the past like 6 months.
Amanda, what an interesting call.
It just seems like, you know, I have no idea if that has anything to do with it, the reason that these two don't seem to get along very well. I feel like it's probably like overall knowing Amanda, I know Amanda super well. Like, it just seems like that's probably like the least of all of this, because I think that a lot of people don't like Tori and Amanda's just somebody who doesn't hide it. But I don't know.
I don't know how many people even like actively hate Tori. I see Tori as someone who Amanda would actively hate. Like, I don't think that their personalities would vibe even if like Tori's personality came off 100% genuine. And Tori and Amanda also hates like anything put on, and Tori does feel put on at times. So that doesn't surprise me that they would not get along. When you add the Fessy of it all, I mean, just look how she has reacted to Michelle since that was a thing. Yeah, so I wouldn't put it past her, but you know, you would like to think that it was more of the personality was the problem.
Yeah, like Amanda's like number one thing is I'm not fake. I'm not ever going to be fake. Like, I don't care who you are, whatever deal. Like, I'm going to keep it straight with you, and I'm not going to be fake about anything. And if anyone out there, you know, you included, have listened to even one episode of Tori and Anissa's podcast, not to say that like they're being fake or anything on there, but it's a lot of, you know, chummy small talk with other challenge competitors. And like the vibe on that podcast is just so like, hey, friend, like, can't wait for next season. You and I are going to like make this work this time, right? Like, just imagine Amanda being on that podcast. You can't. You cannot imagine it, because it would never happen. If they invited her, she would say no in a heartbeat. She would, like, she's not going to go on there, smile through the microphone, and be like, oh yeah, Tori and Anissa, thank you so much for inviting me. She's going to be like, I'm never doing that. So that's Amanda.
Yeah. I always wonder how much they're contractually like obligated, like when we call for the official challenge podcast. I don't know. I could see it kind of like,
I mean, look at the after show. It's not like you have to do those.
I don't know. I mean, I know that they are contracted for like certain amounts. I don't know, because I know with like, let's say Drag Race, it is basically like, once you come on the show, if we want you for any appearance for the next X number of years, you have to say yes. It's our right to refusal. So I could very well see the challenge doing something similarly, especially with the podcast. It's not that hard of an ask. It may be like, we're going to pay you X number of dollars to appear on the podcast, but so long as there's not a legitimate excuse, you have to come on at some point. So I don't know whether that is the case, but I don't think Amanda would be like, should she be forced to be on the podcast? I think she would tell them how she feels is what I was going towards.
I don't know. Amanda strikes me as somebody who wrote her own contract for this season. And, you know, the producers just signed it. it was reverse. Like usually, you know, they present it to the challenger and say, here's the terms and conditions here. I think Amanda wrote hers and decided.
That is fair.
So, a fun scene with Amanda after all that, where she makes that quiz for Logan and Josh is like struggling to do math problems. But I pause. I'm not going to sit here and read through the entire quiz that she made. But I was like, this is well thought out. Like she like put together like five or six like complicated equations. And the word unscrambles. I was like, I know they have a lot of time in the house, but I was like, Amanda's being productive here. Like this is fun.
Yeah, and they were, I felt like, more difficult than many of the puzzles that come up on the challenge. Because I was looking at them, and it was, I think it was like 117 divided by 13, and I was like, I don't know that off the top of my head. And I, like, don't think that I am bad at math, especially compared to many of these challengers. So, it takes a second at least to figure out, and I don't think that they would give them something quite as complicated on the show as what, if you pause and try Amanda's little worksheet. You know, I think that it was operating at, like, a 10th grade level versus like the third grade that usually the show is operating on.
Yeah, I unscrambled the word mission, which was like the second to the bottom, and then I was like, none of the rest of these are they're too much, too many letters. Yep. And I gotta keep moving in this rewatch. So that was fun. And as far as Tori's comments about Amanda, just basically saying about, you know, she's we play two different styles of game, she's like, I'm not stupid, I know that she talks a lot of shit about me behind my back, so you know, she doesn't like me very much, I don't like her very much. That's kind of where we are. So that's that.
Healthy attitude, not everyone has to like each other.
Yeah, I mean, especially on the challenge. So,
kind
of a game designed to not have people not like each other. But both of them are screwing each other or screwing themselves over if there's another rivals anything anytime soon. So that's that.
Will there be?
No. Well, we say that, but there was Vendettas not too many years ago,
and they didn't have to compete with each other as pairs, so they were fine.
Big T's going to talk to Logan about her plans here, and that's going to be a big factor in what happens as far as the rest of the episode goes, when Big T is going to, of course, end up in elimination. She does not want to join the Emerald team. She wants to go to Sapphire.
Yeah, bad decision, obviously. I feel like, especially like with what we have from home, where we see CT and Logan just like absolutely trashing her in confessionals, obviously a bad decision. But even like from Big T's perspective, go to Emerald, where like if they win, you won't have to compete against a Tori and a Casey, versus like if they lose and like maybe they won't want to pick amongst their own team. So like don't do that, what you're doing. But more so here, I am annoyed at Logan and CT. I'm sure you could predict.
Yeah, so there's a couple things here. I mean, her logic that she says on the episode and also maintains even going into the after show is, I don't want to piss off Devin. So, I don't know, points to Devin because he had played, you know, it seems like there's a genuine relationship here between Big T and Devin. So it's mm-hmm. How to dissect that? Like, Devin probably still, even if there is a genuine relationship, gets some points for making her feel so, you know, so good about him that she doesn't want to make him upset by ruining his chances in a final by adding herself to the team. As far as Big T goes, yeah, like she's not keeping her head in the game enough to the point where it's like, where Amanda's saying like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. I'm here to win. I'm here to do well for myself. Big T doesn't seem to be in that mindset. Right? No,
I wouldn't even say it's that. Because, like, they talk about on the after show, they talk about other things, like, I don't think, like, Big T is as committed, like, on her daily life to winning a season of the challenge as, like, a Casey. Sure. Like, Tori is spending the entire year, like bulking and cutting in order to like get in better shape for the challenge, where like Big T not quite at that level. But at the same time, Big T allegedly is like on the treadmill for 2 hours at a time, actually like going and doing her running. So I think she is trying, and I don't think it was Devin being like, you are weak and I don't want you. I think it was Devin saying like, I have a great chemistry with my team, I really like my team, like I want all three women on my team to stay on my team, please don't come infiltrate, like I've kept you safe, I don't want you to come over here. Whereas the old, like the big climax of last season for Big T was like, and for really, you know, besides winning for CT, is like the CT and Big T relationship breakdown. And it all came down to just like, just be honest with me. I am an adult. I'm a grown woman and I can handle myself. Tell me if you don't want to be on my team. And here he is once again, like playing the line of like, don't you think you'd have a better chance on Ruby? Like, well, why my team? You don't, my team's weak. And like, just be honest, just stop like towing the line. It's so annoying.
So the way that I'm trying to like, or that I guess I'm starting to come down with all this is that like, I've heard Big T say now, I don't know where she said it. Maybe it was on the after show or maybe it was, she was on the podcast with Tori and Anissa as well. She's basically like at a point in her career on this show and also just in general where she's like, I get it. Like I don't think she ever didn't get it, but she's like, you know, she seems to be accepting where like how people view her in the game. She's like, I'm not the strongest competitor, and I understand that. Like, when she knows she's going to be a potential person to go into elimination in this episode, it's because she knows of everybody left, a lot of people are going to feel the most comfortable with her being their opponent in the elimination. And I hope that she's taking it in a way of, like, you know, not thinking that she's completely, you know, got no skills in this game, because I think that she should know by now that that's not the case. But when you get to this point in the game and you're looking around for the strongest of the strong, I think that she's come to a place where she's accepted that's not her, and I don't think anyone could really argue or try to, you know, convince her otherwise at this point. So I'm glad at least that she's got that perspective, and I feel like she takes that to understand within Logan or CT or whoever else may be talking to her in that way, or Devin saying that, like, you know, we don't really want, like, I get what you're saying about CT, but I'm more concerned about Big T. Just like, you know, the fact that people don't want to run the final with her, I don't think she's taking it personal. And I feel like that's allowing me to understand or to give more grace to the people like Logan and CT, because she understands where they're coming from. And I feel like I'm allowing myself to also not get mad at them and understand where they're coming from, because I get it. Like, if you're running for $1 million, you want to win $1 million. That's a hell of a lot of money. And if having Big T on your team is likely going to drag that down a little bit, and you got to be honest, that is probably the case. I understand not wanting her to be there, and it's like at a certain point, you know, they've been together for all these weeks now. Like, you can say it this way, you can say it that way, but at the end of the day, I think she gets it and they get it, that they just are trying to avoid this happening. Big T doesn't want to piss off Devin and ruin a chance that this could be Devin's best chance that he's had on 8 seasons so far to win the game. And that's just where she's at. So I don't know. That was a lot of rambling, but I'm just trying to put myself on her level.
I understand if it is like, that's what it is. They want to win the final and they don't want Big T running with them. That's fine. But tell her that, because yeah, she's not offended.
But she knows. That's the thing. Like, she knows. So what is it like telling her over and over and over again, being like, Big T, you're just not, like, she gets it.
But if you tell her over and over again, then I'm not coming in here and feeling bad anymore. I'm not. Like, I'm like, you know, I get it. I understand what it is. I don't think she's the weakest person on the show, but I would understand if you were to say, I don't want to run with you, just like I would understand if people were to say, sorry, Nani, I don't want to run with you. Sorry, Amanda, I don't want to run with you. Like, that's fine. That's totally defensible. And I wouldn't have a problem if people were to say it to, like, Josh or Devin or name any other number of people on the show. That's all fine. But when you... it's after the show, she's saying, like, I'm not taking this personally. What I am taking personally is that they don't tell me this. They go in confessional and talk shit about me every single week while pretending to be my friend. CT allegedly comes into this season, calls her ahead of time and says, what happened last season? I feel so horrible about the way that I treated you. And all I want to do this season is I want to come in and save you from an elimination. I want to take your spot. I want to do whatever I can so that, like, I will throw myself under the bus to save you and make sure that, like, this is your season, and then go into confessional and talk shit. He cannot want to be on her team while still not talking that same shit in confessional.
Yeah, and it's got to be super frustrating for her to, you know, from that perspective, to you know, kind of be like, you know, whatever, like you said, like told one thing, and then, you know, when we get down into the arena to see another thing. And that's a lot of what Ashley's been going through for the past couple of seasons. This one, you know, included, we'll get to that, by the way, of just, you know, seeing all these people in person, and it seems like they want to be your friend and they want to work with you. And then, you know, you go home and watch the show and it's a different story. So, I don't know, hate this for some of our favorite players, but this is just where we are. I really don't want to stay on this for too long.
Yeah, sure.
You know, whatever. But that's just kind of where things seem to be at with her. And the funniest part of the episode, when we get to it later, when she thinks that she's finally set free of this whole season. Pulled right back in. Welcome back, Big T. So, yeah.
We'll get there. But, yeah, quite the reversal.
And before we get to the challenge, it sounds like, you know, Big T and Devin had a conversation that we did, you know, did not get to see, where they talked about, you know, Devin saying, I don't want Big T to, you know, saying to Big T, I don't want you to be on my team. No offense. Love you. Amanda and Josh had the same conversation, but we actually see this one about Amanda wants to switch. She's joining Emerald if she wins an elimination. So she's coming to Josh as a friend saying, like, who do you want me to replace? Because I'm coming there. I have to replace somebody. Obviously, Josh, you know, doesn't want it to be Casey. That's like his number one. I want to run a final with Casey. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. If you're really going to push me to say, I also really want Nani by my side. The two of them have been friends for a couple of seasons now, so you get that. So at the end of the day here, you run out of options after those two are off the board. Tori's the only one left. So, you know, I think we all get, like, he's not saying I don't value Tori as a friend or as a teammate, but she's third out of third there. So Amanda's going to take that, though, and run with it, as she should.
So I have no problem with what Josh says here. I think that he handled it completely fine, in terms of, like, you're sure you're not going to throw this against me? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to do that. But, like, also be prepared for when this gets thrown against you, because you saw this coming. So why are you fumbling the ball when it gets thrown back your way later? And I like with Amanda, where Josh is like, please don't come to my team. And she's like, no, I'm going to do what I want. I'm just telling you, I'm also your friend. So I'm going to do what I want, but I'm trying to also do what you want as best as I can. But, like, make no mistake, I'm here for me. And, like, that's what I want from Amanda. That's what I want from Big T, from whoever, is, like, do what you want and, like, don't ask permission for it at a certain point. Like, you're here for yourself. And, like, if you go down into elimination and you can, like, try to look out for your friends as best as you can. But, like, good. You know, put yourself in a position to win this game.
I just can't imagine, like, how boring this season would have been if they had not gotten Amanda back, because she is single-handedly keeping me interested in the show right now, since probably, like, what, 2 or 3 episodes ago, and this episode being probably, like, the climax of all of that, and then, like, she's still in the game, so going into next week, I'm still, you know, even as an Amanda fan, like, she's, the whole everything that's happening is solely pretty much focused on her being the fly in the ointment of everybody else just skating to the final. So again, I don't know how they got away with this, where one person could save the season from being, I don't want to say unwatchable, but, like, hard to watch, but they should be paying Amanda a lot more money than they probably are. So that's that. Yeah.
Well, I think they knew what they had, because allegedly she was contracted for, like, every after show this season, especially going forward, and then for whatever reason, like, scheduling didn't work out. So I don't know if she's gonna be on anymore, but, like, they know. I think
no
they
yeah know. she said she had to, like, fly home for a family thing, so she's not on anymore, and that sucks, but you know, she's still on the show, so that's good. The challenge itself, so we're gonna get another sponsored challenge here by Burger King or somebody else. TJ comes in on the motorcycle. Oh my god, you know, go ahead.
I want to give the people a quick, you know, like, 3 seconds while I'm talking to guess which of us, if any, have seen Top Gun, the sponsor for this week's challenge. And with that, have you seen Top Gun?
You can answer that.
I have not either. So it's my dad's favorite movie, but I have somehow never watched it. But I figured that you had not watched it either.
I wrote down the names of the three guest people here. Well, I knew Glenn Powell, famously Scream Queens alumni. So if you're on a Ryan Murphy project, I'm going to know who you are. But I hope that Danny Ramirez and Monica Barbaro are both great in the movie as well.
I'm sure they did great things.
Yeah. Ashley was so pumped up. She was like, this is awesome. I'm like, she knows the reactions to give, but This is nothing, whatever. So this challenge was them sitting in this fighter jet. They're going to get submerged into the water. Once they get in the water, pop open the window, get the answer keys from under the jet, go, you know, scream out the puzzle pieces, blah, blah, blah. And the winners also get a special prize. What was the special prize?
Did they get a special prize? Get to go see the premiere ahead of time.
Like, on
I don't know
show?
If it was the premiere or like it was like you get like a viewing of the movie before it's released. And I was like, so is that the premiere or are you just like, here's the like link on like Apple Movies a couple days early. Here's like a pirated version. Good luck.
All right. Well, maybe incentive to not win the challenge. But we're going to start with the Emerald team here. And I got to give Tori credit. That was a funny line about, well, half of us are, you know, doing it with each other. So we have some team chemistry.
More than half, in fact. So, more than half. You know, yeah. And I think the door is open for any number of couples on the show. So, yeah. You know, why not?
Emmanuel even tells Tori that he loves her as their thing is going down into the water there. So there's that. The Emerald team, the story here for them is that after 4 weeks of winning, they are not going to win. They have a plan. Devin always puts the plan together, as we've heard, and they had it all set up, but pieces literally were just falling apart, being attached to Josh that he didn't realize were still attached to him. They're getting frustrated with each other, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, their time is a lot longer than they anticipated, and as we're going to see, they do not win this challenge.
Yeah, why did they go first? Because I know that the past couple of weeks, the winning team has seemed to get to decide the order.
They did not go first.
Yeah, they did. Emerald.
They did not go first.
I mean, they've
been
talking about on the, and that's what I thought for sure, but the way that they've been talking about it on like podcast or on like the after show or whatever was like, yeah, so since we went first, like there was definitely advantage to see like, and so it was like,
So maybe they did go first and I'm wrong, but it's Sapphire and Ruby that got swapped as far as the edit goes, because I know I heard somebody say that something was out of order with the challenge, that like one team didn't go in order. I could have
maybe
sworn
they didn't, and like Tori is playing company line or something, and I believed it, but
it might have been Ruby that went last instead of second, and maybe because they did so bad that they wanted to keep some suspense at the end, so maybe that was it. Okay, either way. Fair enough. So yeah, Emerald not doing so hot. Ruby doing even worse, as you have this team where Big T was, you know, Big T was the one on this team who did not get the piece that she was supposed to take out of the boat. And then you have Nelson and Kyle who were trying to read out the puzzle pieces to Amanda. And Amanda's like, this is a joke. I don't even know why we're trying this, but we got to do it.
Yeah, apparently big mess. I just don't even know where to start with this team. It is not good, as expected.
Big T loses her wig.
Yeah, the wig's a big loss. Why are you wearing this in the open ocean?
I love Devin on the after show being like, I get it, which like challenge throwback to the sacrifice that was made on Devin's second season or first, whatever. So that was unfortunate for Big T. And when they finish and they didn't even like complete their puzzle, Kyle is like asking TJ if they were even close. TJ's like, yeah, about as close as we are to Las Vegas right now. So great off the cuff line from TJ. And then our winning team, Sapphire, is going to go last on the show, but who knows in real life when they went. Again, CT is talking about how, you know, we're small in numbers, but we're big in heart. And these are the two puzzle people, CT and Ashley. So, you know, that one of them is going to be up there. CT is, you know, doing a lot of work to get the memorization going down underwater, while Emmy and Logan are making sure they can find every piece they can. Emmy, especially, who finds the piece that they couldn't find. And they come in with the winning time there, so
And props is specifically because they have like this smaller team, they're able to beat the six person team, especially wearing these like flight suits that has to be so difficult to swim in for like a number of people on the show in general who already aren't the best swimmers, to be swimming in these at all, let alone to actually win the challenge, like very difficult. So props on that.
Overall, thumbs up, thumbs down on the challenge?
Thumbs middle. It was fine. Yeah, thumbs replacement middle. Level challenge for me.
Yeah, it was
better than I would say most of them this season.
I just feel bad when, like, they actually look like they put some money into a challenge, and it's, like, still something that I'm just like, okay, cool. But, like, they must have put a lot of effort.
Money into a lot of them, but not a lot of effort or thought.
But, like, also, like, when they get to the party, you know, the club scene, and, like, if you look closely or just paid even a little bit of attention, you see, like, all of... I don't know why that sounded so shady. If you paid even a little bit of attention... there was a lot of decorations of, you know, Top Gun theme. And I'm like, I'm not really caring about any of this. Like, they probably, I just feel bad for, like, the set designer, whoever was, like, putting in, like, you know, 3 days worth of work, probably more, to make sure that the entire place there looked like it was supposed to for their sponsor. And then, like, you're barely noticing the decorations. I don't know.
That's so funny, because I was like, oh, the party, the Top Gun party, aka they have hats,
right? Like, they had hats.
I knew nothing else was happening.
The challenge logo on the screen had, like, you know, some flair on it that was, I'm pretty sure, supposed to be related to the and there was, like, an airplane hanging from the ceiling, so they tried. A lot of Tom Cruise mentions, which I assume has something to do with Top Gun, but all I can think of. I call my mom here to get, like, the references, who, like, loved Tom Cruise growing up? I don't know. She was probably at work. So Sapphire wins, and that's that. So we finally have a win from a team other than Emerald.
Yeah, look at that. You thought it was going to be Emerald running the table, so.
They did, and they still probably will.
You know what? You said they wouldn't lose one challenge, so I'm at least happy you were wrong on one case if you're going to win this draft.
Wow. Cool. Well, fair. So before we get to that club scene, we have a really quick shot of Big T talking to Casey about how, you know, there's really not that many options. Obviously, it's the three Emerald girls, Casey, Nani, or Tori, and then Big T or Amanda. So Big T knows that either way, she's probably going in. Like, whoever gets picked to go in is probably going to pick her, or if she gets voted in, she's going in anyway. So she's like, I get it. So that'll take us into the club scene where Take My Breath Away is going to lead us in, which, of course, have to note, covered on Glee. And here we are.
You know, they never miss with the music. Always good. I did not notice the decorations that went into this, but I saw some like leather jackets and captain's hats, which always good. They looked fine.
What speed did you use on the rewatch, 2 or faster?
I tried, but my internet was not really cooperating. So around a 1.5. But yeah, you know, I was not paying too much attention to the decoration on my first or second watch of this episode.
All right, fair enough. So we get a Ruby team check-in, and, you know, the general consensus is, as far as, like, Nelson and Kyle goes, seem to be that, like, Big T or Amanda is probably leaving our team tonight, and that makes us happy. So they were going to be satisfied either way.
Well, that's the thing when Amanda's like, Nelson's my only friend. And I know. Nelson's like, I want Amanda so far away from me, I can't stand her. Like, oh. So I wonder how she would answer that question after watching this season. But yeah, Nelson, what are you doing?
I'm quickly pulling up a tweet here from our good friend Brian Cohen, who tweeted before at Amanda saying, hey, Amanda, next time Nelson questions your heart, be sure to bring up that he hasn't won a daily since the iPhone was invented, which was him retweeting challenge stats saying, update, Nelson has now lost 48 straight challenges. So, yeah, he has not won anything in a while and continues to question everybody else's motivations in this game. So, you know,
I've been on the lookout. Is Amanda going to retweet it, or is she going to block him for shading her friend? We will see. I was like, there's really anything's on the table here. But, you know, I think appropriate shade. I approve the message, Brian.
We are going to see a little bit with the Sapphire cell, where CT again is happy with, you know, how the team is looking for him. And he's like, we're the ones to beat at this point. Honestly, screw Emerald. I don't care about them. At this point in the game, we are the ones that people should be looking out for. And if we can get Big T to go home this week, then that's even better for us, because then, you know, she can't come to our team, which is what she wants to do. So that's kind of where they are at. If you have anything there, we kind of already talked about CT's thoughts on all this. But we also then have an Amanda and Ashley check-in, which is going to create some fun at the club here, at least fun as a viewer.
I have nothing with CT. I feel like I've said it all. He feels like he owes Emerald for not throwing him in over and over. Like, fine, whatever. I guess with Nelson talking about how, like, Big T and Amanda aren't here for the right reasons, it's like, don't give me... I deal with it enough on the Bachelor franchise when I do watch. I don't need the right reasons crap. Big T answered, like, a question online that was like, people are calling me an anchor, like, competitively. Well, guess what? Like, so many of you are anchors entertainment-wise. Like, you're so boring on this show. Like, and I agree. I saw the subreddit today is just like, we all hate Big T. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not where I need to be. Thank you for the information that you supply me, but otherwise, the opinions, not my bag. So I don't get it, considering so many, I agree, a lot of people on this show are complete anchors entertainment-wise, and they would do better having 20 Big T's on the show than 20 Casey's. So whatever.
I'm impressed that you see anything on the challenge subreddit, or at least like the way that I have experienced Reddit in the past 48 hours is about 35 posts a day from the Edgic subreddit being like, oh my God, what do we do now? So they are in shambles over there. And I really don't see much else. So yeah, the Ashley and Amanda check-in leads Amanda to walking up on the Casey Nani Tori / Big T conversation, where she's like, if they're going to be talking about me and me possibly going in, I'm going to go down there and be involved in the conversation. So she goes over there. Obviously, it does not go very well. It starts out looking a little bit playful, but then like she's still, you know, as Casey says, like getting a little defensive. She's trying to like stand up for herself and be like, you know, I'm right here, talk to me about this, like, let's, what are we doing, what are we doing? And then after like her and Casey are going back and forth a little bit, then Nani jumps in, kind of gets Casey turned on a little bit, seeing her girlfriend defend her, which I was like, okay, you guys go for it. Yeah, we got it was so good for me to see like classic Nani come back, because I feel like she's been so like timid. She's with Casey. Mm-hmm. We get her confessionals of just like, so this is where we are in the game. But like to see her in that confessional, I'm a nice person, but I'm still crazy. Don't test me. And as she's at the club, like yelling to Amanda, I was like, oh my God, these two in any kind of confrontation, which it wasn't going to get any bigger than it actually did, because apparently they are good friends. That's what Amanda says. But it was a spark for me that kept me interested in the episode.
I enjoyed it. I was glad that it happened. I do agree that like I prefer this Nani to like boring Nani. I still didn't find her super likable in the moment, especially with like this green team that's just been completely dominating. And like when Casey's like, I'm not scared of like Amanda, like I dare you to come and pick me, it's like, stop punching down, like it's so annoying.
I hate when Casey does that. Like, she's done this before in past seasons too. I feel like she's been like, put me into elimination, I don't care, like knowing very well that she's not going to be, like no one's going to call her out, and also she's not getting voted in. So just
please someone call Casey into a puzzle, put more puzzle eliminations in, and I would love to see her go home, because it's so annoying to see like people punching down in general. So Casey being like, oh, like, I'm not scared of you. Like, cool. You decided to put your three words of the episode into this, like, very entertaining. Great. And then, like, I get it. You were like a professional football player when many of these people are like, you know, this is not their job. They don't do this for their living. That's cool. And then Nani, like, again, I appreciate the entertainment side of Nani, but it's like she's the chihuahua between the bulldog and the pit bull of like of Tori and Casey, and it's like, okay, I get that you're on a similar level to Amanda, but like you're only popping off because you feel so secure because people are carrying you also, and like you're not better than her, so like stop acting like it. It was just like, I'm enjoying this while also rolling my eyes at you.
Yeah, and to kind of like talk about it now, I guess, because Tori's going to mention it at the deliberation to Amanda, and then, you know, later on Amanda explains yet again, like, the whole thing about this is Amanda was never going to pick somebody from that team to go against in the elimination because she wanted to be on Emerald, and if, you know, she picked one of them to go against, next thing you know, there's going to be two of those women off the team, whoever she would potentially send home, plus whoever she would be replacing, and now the team is down to five people, and it's, you know, going to be her plus one of Casey or Nani at that point. So that's not exactly what she was going for. Go ahead.
I totally think that it was the right move if the elimination presents itself where it's something that Nani or Tori or Casey is bad at, like ideally Nani or Tori, because like Casey is a good finals competitor because she's like actually very strong, can run, etc. And then you can carry her in a puzzle. Like someone else could do the puzzle. She doesn't have to do it. So if you were to eliminate, say, like basically what Amanda wants to do is end up on Emerald and not have it so that that person, whoever like spot that she takes, can go into elimination against her and steal a spot. If there are less spots there, then like they have no one spot to steal because they still want to go on the team with Casey. It's hard to explain like without having like an actual visual, but I actually think that having less spots to steal on the team is like beneficial for Amanda, because like if, let's say Tori moves over to another team like she does at the end of this week and she wants her spot back on Emerald, she can't pick Amanda to go into an elimination against because then she has to steal Nani's spot after she beats Amanda. Mm-hmm. So if you go down and you beat Nani and then you kick Tori off the team also, well, if Tori wants your spot, she can't go against you in the elimination. So I think if the elimination presented itself, that actually was a good option to go against one of the Emerald team girls, then take your shot. I think it's a good spot. And I think she may have done it. But this, unfortunately, was not that elimination.
Yeah. And as always, you think like 10 steps ahead when a lot of them are thinking, you know, like one or two steps ahead, because just as far as like, you know, and again, as usual, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree, but I feel like they are so close to the final. Like, I don't think that they expect that they're going to the final with, what, like seven on each side still, but they know how close it's getting, and it really could at any moment be like, all right, pack up your bags, we're going. And if they are running the final like these teams, yeah, Emerald is going to be a heavy threat, and she wants these strong players all around her. So I think everybody gets, you know, that she just wants to insert herself onto that team with as many numbers as possible. So that's just that's what Tori was saying, that's what Amanda ended up saying. Yeah, that's pretty much where I made my decision from, plus the fact that I think she saw Big T as somebody she could easily beat. So that's where we ended up
Well, that's where I had issue with like Amanda ending this scene on like, I always do what I say, and it was like, well, you didn't really back that up this episode. But sure, like, fine, whatever.
Because now we are going to take a very sudden change from a scene where Amanda and Ashley are talking to a deliberation where one person on the winning team is nowhere to be found. I don't know why we waited this long anyway. Let's talk about Ashley.
Yeah, so basically they've done this before this season where it, no pun intended, like a smash cut to nominations and no real explanation of or like really end to the night out scene, to the point where I thought, like, did I miss a commercial break? Like, what's going on? But no, what apparently happened, and there's like a lot of stuff online that makes it not 100% clear, but as far as we know, it seems like Ashley got involved in the Amanda drama, kind of inserted herself in there and got in a fight with like one person on the show. Don't even feel like delving into like who and what, but basically telling them that everyone knows they're gay and they should just come out already, and just really going on and on and on and harping on them just for an extended period of time, at which point Devin and Logan and potentially one or two other people, don't know, went to production and made it very clear that like this is not okay and it's bullying, and like made a point of getting her kicked off of the show, which worked, and she'll not be finishing out the season. So there were like other allegations which don't seem to be true, but basically that's what we know as far as why Ashley is gone.
Yeah, there's been, like you said, like 100 different versions of this story, it seems, and it's hard to like look through them when like the only way that you can really get these bits of information is from the spoiler pages, and you're also like in the middle of there's a challenge season filming right now, so you're like, I'm not going near the spoiler pages, but they're the only ones who have the information. So you know, there's a couple of people that had been directing some information on Twitter, so you know, kind of have picked up the bits and pieces from various threads of like pretty much exactly what where you just said of what went down. So that's but the thing about that, though, is that like I'm still having a hard time putting the whole story together. And all that Ashley has said is that she understands where she put out a tweet basically saying, like, I understand MTV and TJ's decision. Basically, like, I'm taking this on the chin and I am going to, you know, grow and learn from it. So it does sound like she did say something along these lines. Like, I don't think anyone can deny mm-hmm. that she said something, but like the extent of it and whatever, I just want more information. And I don't necessarily, it's a weird thing to want more information about because of the, like, you know, what it's about and the fact that mm-hmm. like, whatever, this could be, you know, kind of like affecting somebody's life, to get into like the details of it all. But just like, as much as I have loved Ashley for all these seasons, I also don't, it's so tough because like, she's somebody who has like prided herself for so long. Like, she's like the queen of the gays. Right. And then, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, you know, been a huge advocate for the community in general. But then to say something like that, it's like, where are we? Who is this? What happened? Where?
It's happened before. There are plenty of people who, I mean, someone who's coming back on All Stars 3 was the gays love me. They don't care what I do. And then yeah. drop slurs. So, you know, no, you don't get a pass. For me, the like quote unquote best case scenario was she was being homophobic and using like homophobia in order to like scare and offend someone. So like, fuck you. Or she was legitimately trying to out someone on national television, which like, and using homophobia and being homophobic, like, fuck you even more. So we don't know this like entire story. For right now, I'm ready to say, like, I'm glad she's gone. I don't feel bad. I have my guard up on her moving forward. I'm not writing her off entirely, especially because we don't have the entire scene in front of us. And she seems sorry. I don't know. Like, but you know what? She should be glad that it didn't air. I'm happy for that person that it didn't air as well. So, yeah, that's how I feel basically.
Yeah. I think it's impossible to say like if the most that happens to you in this moment, you being Ashley, is that you got, you know, taken off of a show and taken out of the running for a big prize of money. Like, that's not mm-hmm. too bad. Like, it's not, I haven't seen anybody being like, oh, she's never going to be back on the show, like this or that, which, as you said, with a different person on All Stars, like, obviously there's no barriers there. They don't care. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm with you that, you know, I am perfectly fine with this being the end of the road for Ashley here, given everything that's mm-hmm. being said about what happened there. But again, I still feel like there's information missing, and I don't know. I'm just, it's weird to like want to comment on it when there's so much that feels like
exactly.
we don't know. So that's just kind of, that's the story. That's what happened. As far as we can tell, well, it was very shocking.
Definitely not banned. I mean, again, allegedly, because supposedly she was asked to be on All Stars 3 and declined. And like you said, given who they're actually casting on All Stars 3, I would almost be surprised if anyone is super banned at this point.
If she was banned, then she would have been fully edited out of the season. And she was giving confessionals like, you know, 20 minutes before she disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know. I think it's like a major, like, you're on big notice. And I think that what this does encourage me of is that it's hard because it's the same thing that allegedly happened with Lauren, was that because they're filming so far ahead of the U.S. in time zones, they don't really have the opportunity to have things reviewed by the U.S. legal team and then start the next like elimination or deliberation or challenge without already making a decision like on the spot. And they're going to err on the side of caution. Generally, I'm going to hope they are on the side of caution in general and remove people when they do stuff like this or worse, or, you know, not even this much, because this is definitely more over the line, where like the line is, you know, further back than this. But I am like slightly encouraged that like they will actually remove people from the show if stuff like this happens. But I am by no means taking this as a sign that people who have done worse will not be coming back in the future.
Yeah, what she said, and what, again, we didn't see the scene. All we have is kind of secondhand accounts of it. If what she said is what she said, again, she should, yes, have been removed. And, you know, if she needs some time off from the show, then she needs some time off from the show to, she, I think she put out a tweet also, she said it somewhere that she's like, since she was been on the season, she's been in like anger management of some sort. And she's really been like focusing and like trying to, you know, make herself better. And, you know, that's all good and well, you know, what she said is never okay in any context. I think we can all agree. Mm-hmm. And if that's coming from a place where, within her, where it's like she's, you know, saying that she's going to some kind of anger management course or something like that to kind of work on herself, then, you know, let her figure all that out, and you know, we'll you know, continue watching the show, and the show will continue moving on while she's working all that out.
Yeah, and I will say, if it ever comes out that she was legitimately trying to out someone, then I'm done, hard done on her. So that's, you know, same energy for everybody. Like, I will be fully done.
So that's that. That's why we get to the deliberation or the nominations with three out of the four team members there who are ultimately going to, you know, put their votes on Amanda. But the way that we get there is just more of Amanda pitching that she should be the one to go down. She is making it clear to the girls in the Emerald team, saying like, I don't want anybody to feel safe. Like, I could pick anybody to go in. I don't think any of them ultimately thought that they were going to get picked because of what Tori was saying. It's not a good idea for Amanda to pick if what she wants is what she wants. But then I guess the part of all this that starts to get more tense is when Devin gets involved and gets pretty pissy with Amanda and is really like giving it to her, and then she gets into it with Josh, which is really gonna make Josh feel like shit. So
Oh my god, Devin could not have been more annoying. I don't know how you feel about it this episode, but I found Devin annoying for like most of this season. I think Devin is someone like, Kirsten was the first of the take where it was like, why do you, I guess maybe not the first, but the first that I know of, to like, why do people hate Josh but love Devin? And for me, Devin is always going to come down to, are you hating the people that I hate, or are you not hating the people that I hate? Because if you are like being an asshole to people that I like, and like, I think you're being a hypocrite, then I'm not going to like you. And I am high key feeling that, especially him being a hypocrite. I don't believe for a second that Devin would like shut up and lie down if he was in Amanda's position. So Devin is greatly annoying me this episode.
Not really, you know, I'm usually on the Devin train. I'm not really on it right now. Not to say that I will never get back on, but just, you know, I'm really not the most, you know, whatever. When, you know, just everything he's saying, and even who was it, like Nelson or Kyle, they were being like, what is with this guy? Like, just everything he's saying to her about, you know, and she's like making the obvious points here, like standing up for herself, saying like, I'm playing a selfish game. Yes, that is the point of the challenge. I'm in a bad position. You are all in a good position. I want to put myself in a good position. Devin's like, well, that's selfish. That's like, that's being so disrespectful to like all the people who helped you get to where you are. It's like, okay, nobody asked you to do this. Like, she was a part of your game, and just as much as you were a part of hers. Like, having Amanda and Ashley on your side and not having them form a coalition against you was helpful. The fact that you guys had this vet alliance was helpful to both sides here. So let's not make it act like just because you have this strong 6-person team behind you right now means that Amanda, you know, got here completely with, you know, entirely because of you, King Devin. So yeah, I'm with you that, you know, he was really annoying here. And I feel like that's going to continue into the coming weeks as he gets closer and closer to this final.
Mm-hmm. Because I know he said it. I feel like Nani said it at one point. I could be misattributing, but I feel like multiple people said it where it's like, you were carried this far. It's like, oh my God, Devin and like Nani and Josh are telling me that like, you carried me through the season of the challenge. Like, goodbye. No, like, I'm so good. That is a joke. Like, look at Devin's track history on the challenge. Like, and no one is scared of you. Like, calm down. Like she said, like, you only started winning once you were on this team, and like, the challenges have been drastically favoring teams with larger numbers of people.
Right.
Like, calm down. Like, you're not cool. And it's just like, you've had the half season where rookies, like, you told them to lay down and die, and they did for you, and it was annoying then. And then now that finally someone's speaking back to you, like, you got too used to that comfort and are telling people who, like, have been on the show just as long as you, if not longer, and like, shut up. Shut up. It's so annoying. So, yeah, I'm firmly out on Devin this season. I want to see him lose so badly.
And it's also funny because, like, as we talk about the Josh stuff here, he makes a comment being like, I guess like what happened was that Amanda and Josh talked and Amanda like got it out of Josh where like Josh is just dumb and didn't realize what the conversation was. It's like, yeah, Devin, because you're playing so much better than him. Like Josh got his way with the whole Logan thing, like literally just a week ago. Like stop acting like Josh is like the biggest idiot. Like maybe he said one thing that he shouldn't have said and he's like, oh, typical stupid Josh. I'm like, shut up, Devin. Not me siding with Josh again here, but what are you going to do?
I think that's a huge flaw in Devin as a player is because he's done it multiple times this season where he didn't believe Priscilla could have possibly come up with a plan, and obviously she had been manipulated. And like, stop it. Not everyone is a 10 or a 0. Like other people are playing this game, and like stop thinking you're so much above them, because frankly you're playing worse than many people on this season, and including Josh.
He's spending too much time with Tori. The two of them are growing very close to each other, and I think the gameplay of one Tori deal from the past couple seasons is really rubbing off on Devin, where he is being a lot less careful, a lot less caring of other people's games and feelings, and really just focusing on himself in the same way that she does. And it's blinding him to a whole lot going on around him, and I feel like that's not a place he wants to be. So
yeah, well, because I have no problem with focus on yourself for winning the challenge, but first of all, don't be so obvious about it, and then don't get mad when other people are doing the same.
Yeah. So, as you know, we see the little argument that Josh and Amanda get in, which obviously isn't as bad as it could have been had Josh and Amanda not been friends, and Amanda still in the back of her mind not wanting to completely run over Josh and his game there. When they get back to the house, she's obviously annoyed with him. He's like trying to hope that like things are still okay. He goes in for a hug and she's like, no, I'm not doing this right now. Like, none of you guys have my back. Literally only Nelson does, which we talked about already. She's like, and if you guys don't want to win with me, then you're going to lose with me. So this is what it is. I'm going to, you know, my fire has been fueled now, and I'm going to take this into the elimination and, you know, and make sure that I stay in the game here. So see you later, Josh.
It's just like Josh could have just kept quiet. He didn't need to be like, this is my team and this is who I die for. And it's like, and don't ever you dare come over here. Just be quiet. She wouldn't have called you out. Like it just would have been so easy for him to not say something and gotten away completely scot-free. But of course Josh needs to say something and like alienate Amanda to like just like, you don't want to make someone feel like dirty, like you're ashamed of them. And that's like kind of what he did, where it's like these are the cool kids and I'm in with them, and like I know what I said to you, but like you better not say anything. And like, of course Amanda's gonna say something whether or not like you slight her. And so, you know, like Amanda has the exact right attitude. And like, great line: if you don't want to win with me, then you'll lose with me. Too bad.
And then Tori sneaks in with like the isn't she just the worst, Josh? Like, I don't know why you're friends with her. Like, she's not even that great. Like, I don't know what you see in her.
I don't know. Like, I have tried with Tori this season. She's not annoyed me as much as others. But yeah, you know, I feel the same.
We'll see if this Tori and Josh thing spills into, you know, next week or future weeks now that Tori is not on that team anymore, but I don't really have a whole lot to say on it now, especially since we still have to talk about another episode of a TV show.
Yes.
the elimination, TJ tells us about Ashley being deactivated, which, yeah, we talked about that, so I think we can keep moving on. Amanda's going to come down, call Big T out for the elimination after she sees what it is, and we're going to see, what is it called? Vault Escape, I think, and yep. It's a pretty good elimination. I'm always down for the eliminations where they have to climb in one way or another. I don't know why those eliminations stand out to me more than others, but I don't know. I just, maybe it's like the visual. It's like, I like to see one person is like definitively higher up or doing better than the other, you know, whatever. So I liked this elimination. Amanda was ready to go. You know, she's got something to prove. She wants to win it for her son back home. Big T, I don't know, maybe we're just not getting as much of her story going into this elimination, but we didn't see a whole lot of like, I'm fired up, I'm ready to win this. She was like nervous, but she was like, I think I'll be okay. Like, it's a pretty even matchup, we're kind of the same size. And then we go into the elimination where Amanda will take the W.
I like this elimination in general. If I had one criticism for it, basically whoever starts out in the lead is going to maintain that lead. I think it is going to be very difficult to catch up once you have the like strategy down. So that's my only criticism, that like it could be improved somehow. But I thought it was decent. I thought, you know, Amanda did not go through with it and actually pick someone from Emerald, because like, to say, like, screw you to Nani and Casey, and, like, yeah, Casey, I'm not calling you down, but I'm calling your girlfriend, I'm sending her home, and then I'm taking, like, Tori's spot or something. Like, would have been great. Would have been so good. But I think she makes the right call to hear calling Big T down, especially if she's going to be leaving that team. So not super surprising that she goes ahead and does that. And at the point that Big T said, I'm going to go to Sapphire, like, confirmed that again, I was like, all right, I need Amanda to stay.
Yeah. So I guess this is a fine place to talk about this. I was essentially spoiled on the outcome of this elimination. Take a guess as to who spoiled me on the outcome of this elimination and when it happened. You don't want to guess, do you?
No.
Big T spoiled me on the outcome of this elimination. And when did she do it? Last week. Big T put up an entire Instagram post. I think it was like early morning for the US. So I was like up early that day. And I don't know what time it was in the UK. And it was like a whole post saying that, like, she had a great season. And, you know, she like was basically just saying that, like, telling everybody thanks for the support after losing the elimination. And I was like, you were not in an elimination this week, my friend. What did you just say? So when this week was cut, like, everything was happening this week, and then obviously eventually you see Big T's in elimination, I'm like, Big T does not win this elimination. So that post was meant for this week. And obviously that post was down within like 20 minutes, because after I'm sitting there scratching my head, figuring like what she just did, but then I go back a little bit later and the post is gone. I'm like, okay, that is not what I wanted to know. But the suspense was completely taken out of this one for me. That was, thanks, Big T.
Huh. I mean, it's interesting. Did she think that this episode was going to end on a cliffhanger and they would bring her back at the beginning of next episode? Because
that's also possible. I have no idea.
Like,
but it was a week early.
Yeah, I guess she scheduled it incorrectly, apparently.
It was just like, you know, a nice, calm picture. She was like, you know, I put my heart into everything in that elimination, blah, 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 blah. Like, I just couldn't pull out the win. Right. I was like, what did she just say and why?
I don't know. Like I said, as soon as the elimination started, I was like, and Big T says that, like, all right, I need Amanda to stay, and I'm glad that Amanda ultimately won. Especially if, like, we get to keep them both, Amanda's gonna make the move that I would prefer. So I'm glad that she actually got to go ahead and infiltrate instead of Big T.
Yes, so she gets to go take her pick of where she wants to go. She obviously is going to do the move she's been talking about. She's going to take Tori's spot and send Tori off to Sapphire, which does make Ruby, which does make the Ruby team very excited, because Tori is a strong player, they're saying, and we want to have Tori. We hate Big T. We hate Amanda. We only like Tori, so good. Have fun with Tori. Go soak up each other's awesomeness. And meanwhile,
let's see how that goes next week.
And meanwhile, we're gonna have a player reactivated in the game, because Ashley's already gone, so TJ is gonna do this whole big you know, acting routine where Big T runs all the way out, makes it halfway back to the UK, and TJ calls her back and she's back in the game.
I thought that we might not have an elimination. Once we did have an elimination, I believe that she actually was going home. So I was blindsided by this. I'm very happy that Big T is still here ultimately, but I won't lie and say that I wasn't a little conflicted.
Because?
So I was falsely spoiled when it was, they went back down on lockdown. Everyone thought Big T was removed from the game. So I was like, wow, Big T really went home first. Like, that's what happened. So I came into this season really thinking, like, Big T's gone home first. Like, that sucks. I'm really, really upset. See you on season 38. And that didn't happen. And so I have had quite the season of Big T. Like, you know, a decent amount of content. Not nearly like last season. But it's mostly been people shitting on her. She hasn't really had like a ton of time to shine. Like, she's been a good narrator, but mostly gone to for like one-liners, and I don't really see a winning scenario for Big T on this season. I know, like I said, people on the subreddit are just like completely sick of her, and they're like, she's had four seasons in a row. I'm like, CT's been on for 18 years. Like, what? Sure, whatever. Like, she went home in the first week on a different season, on one of those four, but whatever. So like, I could tell people like want a break like from Big T, and like I didn't see this going well for her. So I kind of was like, this is a fine way for her to go out. I'm not happy about it, but like, we're winding down the season and that's what's happening. She comes back, and again, I'm happy she's back, but I almost am like, I'm just gonna have to watch people shitting on her more, and then she's gonna go home again, huh?
Yeah, I totally get that, and I think that's entirely what she was feeling as well. She said it on the after show with Devin being like, Devin Simone being like, she was like, was there a little bit of you that didn't really love the idea that you were about to go back into the game? Like, you were sitting there thinking that you were about to like go to the hotel, order some room service. And she's like, yeah, no, that's exactly what I had in mind. And when I had to turn around and go back up, she's like, that was like the biggest, you know, mind F of like, wow, it's in that moment. You see the moment in Corey where he loses that first round, and he's like, all right, I'm probably going to be on the flight home. I'm going to see my daughters. And like, something switches in that moment that you're like accepting where you are in the game, and then you're going to move on and get back to normal life. And Big T had that moment where she literally was out of the arena, and then she had to like jump right back in. So, you know, most people would appreciate that, like, I'm still in the running for $1 million, but it did seem like she would have been happy to go home. And I take what you're saying 100% as well. It's like, there's probably not a winning scenario for her here, so it would have been probably not the worst case scenario for her to just kind of be like, all right, this is where we go, but whatever. Personally, at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to find it within me to complain about more Big T, so mm-hmm. She's back in the game, and that's that.
Well, especially since, I don't know if you have been staying away from Big T's Instagram for fear of spoilers. She has been answering questions and seemingly is saying that she will be taking season 38 off. She has applied for culinary school and is waiting to hear back from that. So she's excited about that. And basically has said that like, she wants to come back to the challenge, but also wants to do so in like much better shape. And, that takes time. So she would definitely, she's leaning towards taking season 38 off, essentially.
I also saw amidst like all of the Ashley stuff that Ashley is supposedly not going to be on 38. I don't know if that's because of her decision or because of the challenge's decision, but just in same line with that.
I didn't see that
update. So
I did not see that. I'm taking it with a grain of salt if it didn't come from her herself.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea if it's true or not, but just along the same lines. But I also don't believe any of this stuff. Corey put up a whole post the other day saying that, like, love the challenge, but I'm taking a break. He put up, basically, like, his post was more, like, a little bit more into it, saying that, like, you know, he came home from this season and he went to some game with Ryder, blah, blah, blah. And she was, she said to him, like, Daddy, I wish you would stop going on the challenge. And he was like, all right, I'm done for a little bit. So,
thank you, Ryder.
Right. MVP. Ryder.
Yeah. I mean, I do know also Ashley was not at the reunion filming. So would not be shocked if you know, that was alluding to a slight break.
Now let's take a break with a lot of these other people as well, and let's try to reset a little bit, because that's what I really need.
Yeah.
I need everybody except for Amanda to take next season off.
Honestly, same.
Amanda and the rookies can come back, and we'll figure it out with maybe some All-Stars, get some All-Stars in there. That's a great transition. Let's talk about All-Stars. Anything else on season 37?
Nope, I'm happy Amanda infiltrated Emerald. I'm glad to see them shake. I hope someone takes one of the guy spots next week and sends Devin home.
The Challenge All-Stars Season 2 has premiered on Paramount Plus. We are here. A season that, as we mentioned in the draft, the cast is okay. And Scally, just to get right into it, after one episode of The Challenge All-Stars 2, how is the cast doing for you?
The cast is fine. The lack of elimination was an interesting decision. But you know, I am trying to look at this more so as a casting special, actually, especially upon the rewatch, it stuck out to me just how much this is just like, hi, my name is like blank and I have two kids, and like, move on to the next person. Mm-hmm. So, it was a nice reintroduction to many of these people, even people who I said like I didn't need to see back. I still feel like that, but it was a nice little check-in. So I am, you know, feeling about the same about this season, if not slightly more positive.
Yeah, this was in episode one. This was like the preview episode that we got that preview episode of the season 37, of like catching up with everybody or whatever, seeing where people are before the season starts. Like this one did have a challenge in it, but no elimination in this first episode. So it really was like an episode zero. And it's kind of annoying when you don't expect that that's what you're getting, but also like, whatever, let me just like shake it off and understand that that's what we got here. And, you know, it is what it is, especially with so many of these cast members that weren't on the first season. So we haven't heard from them in so long. So it is worthwhile to get those check-ins. But again, I'm like sitting here being like, okay, so like no elimination this episode, huh? We're really getting to the end of the, okay, whatever. So my question for you that I can't figure out the answer to, who coming out of this episode, we can go, I was thinking five, but we can go like three. Who are the main characters of this season?
Ooh, are we drafting? Tina. Yeah.
Tina's the number one pick. I think that's obvious.
Yeah. Tina, it just stands out so much. I feel like she is just like head and shoulders above the rest of the cast, frankly. If we are moving on without discussing each person as we go, I would say Derek seems to be. I think without Mark here, he was like completely in his shadow last season, I would say. I think that he stands out a lot more here without him. And then let me do the third and I'll leave some for you. I'll say John A also seems to be,
what do you mean leave some for me? There's not anybody to pick. You're picking all the people. those are the answers. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Derek can be swapped out for somebody else, but it would you put Derek and Jody together there because that was obviously a big storyline. But
if
yeah,
Jody is one of our main characters, I have big problems with this season.
Yeah, I want to say I like Jody, and I, you know, wish that I had been able to draft her. Obviously, you know, you took her second overall before I was able to get to her. And I still feel like that's a good pick, but yeah, the confessionals are just very like looking at the camera. Oh my, well, not a whole lot happening.
Thank God. She was so dominant and just like they dropped her. Like somehow Casey is passing the entertainment bar to stay on the show, but Jody could not. Like we're done with you. We can't be stuck with you for longer.
Yeah. So the answers are definitely, as far as that that question goes, Tina and John A are definitely there for me. That's who it seemed like we were following the most. And maybe Ayana would be the third. I feel like we got a couple of check-ins with her, which probably would make probably made Mel super happy. Right, Mel?
Happy. I would say happy or nervous would be how you should feel about Ayana's premiere.
Okay, well, main character is what I'm going for here, not like chances to win in episode one. So,
Well, I'm saying in terms of a season-long main character, I don't know if I am putting all my chips on Ayana.
All right, fine. You want to go one by one? I mean, it's not going to, you know, take us forever.
I'm ready to.
It's pretty quick hits. So we start with Tina, who, you know, talks about how she's married. She doesn't have any kids, but life is good. She wants to see if she's still got it. We can group them together. Tina, Brad, and Jasmine were the ones that this got like released before the episode of like a 2-minute teaser. Brad is talking about how he lost his job early in COVID, but he's considered a top tier challenger. Okay. I don't know about that.
Sure.
But sure. And Jasmine is very happy to be back. She's like, I'm known for being wild and crazy, dancing on stripper poles, punching mirrors, but I'm a mom and a wife now, and all I could just do was smile because I had Tina and Jasmine confessionals to start off my season here. So that was great for me.
Yeah, I mean, Tina comes on screen and I was like, you could be on the main show still. Like, you are so charismatic. It's wild. Like, she stands out just as the absolute, by far the biggest name get, I would say, on this season. Yeah. Outside of people that were also on season one, especially, just like the biggest get of the season by far. She's just like, she's still athletic. She still has the biggest personality on the show. Tina, absolutely thrilled you're here. Jealous of your pool and no kids. That sounds amazing. Brad, understatement of the century when he said he had a rough few years. I am nervous for Brad. I do not know what this man is. I feel like too much is riding
longer.
Too much is riding on the challenge for Brad personally.
Hmm. Just quick on Tina. I think they showed the clip, but like, just in case anybody doesn't know Tina, and I don't think we mentioned this a whole lot, maybe in the preview, but like the last time we saw her on the challenge was, as John A says, like when she came in with CT and they were doing that elimination. The time before that, when she was the last a contestant on the show, she got into it with Beth, who was on season one. And just like that scene, excuse me, that scene stands out so much. It was like her getting really annoyed with Beth and like, to the point where she wanted to get physical and put her hands on her. And she was so well aware that if she put her hands on Beth, she would be sent home. And like the entire tension of that scene is she going to do it? Even though she knows she's going to get sent home. Like usually when they have that moment, like any player has that moment to second think about it and be like, this isn't a good idea. I want to stay and compete. Tina was like, no, I've had enough of Beth. And she pushed her. So that's Tina.
Yeah. You know what? Like, Tina made the decision that it was worth it to get the weakest punch in the world on Beth, and that was good enough for her. So
she, you know, and she was like so satisfied with the decision. Like people were like, she got like interviewed and everything. Like after it all happened, she was like, they were like, do you feel like that was worthwhile? She's like, no, that was good. That's what I needed. I'm good now. I am ready to go. Get me out of here. My mission's complete. I got my point across. Okay, Tina. Thanks.
I love Tina also. She was on the challenge the podcast this week and was talking. She's like, all these people like really hold grudges and I don't do that. And it was a funny contrast to, we had Beth last season who was like, oh my God, I'm so glad Tina wasn't on this season. Like she has it out for me. And now I was like, is Tina really downplaying her grudges or is Beth the one with the grudge against Tina here?
Yeah, so a shame that those two both couldn't be on the season together, but what are you gonna do? So and then we get a quick check-in with Darrell, who reminds us that last season was the first time we ever lost a final, so that's kind of his story going into this season. Backstreet's back, all right, as we get into seeing everybody together here. They're gonna just kind of gather in this little area that made me think they were on Bachelor in Paradise. Brad and Tyler are gonna get behind the bar serving up some drinks. Tyler checks in. He's a two-time winner, now he's teaching in North Dakota, and just feeling like a zaddy. Jody talks about how she was the first female solo challenge champion. Now she's working at an Army Wellness Center. She has two kids, been married 13 years. Leah here talks about how it's been 18 years since her last challenge. She lost actually an elimination against Kendall, who's also here. She has a 10-year-old son and she's a single mom.
Yeah. Tyler seems like, you know, going to be the same Tyler that we had last time. I don't think much has changed. Seems fun enough. Jody, incredibly boring so far. I am interested to see if that can change, but I don't think that she is the largest personality by any means. And Leah seems nice enough. I'll enjoy her for the 2 to 3 episodes that she's here.
Yep. We get a reuniting of Real World Road Rules the Quest, as Katie Doyle Cooley now has a buddy from her old show, Steve, who we knew so much about. She says he does not look like Jason Momoa, but okay. This hand model is here. This is our challenge all-star.
Okay. So did you take any note of Steve hands at all when he showed them on screen?
Did I take any note of his hands? No.
Like, I mean, he's a hand model. Did you see how particularly great looking his hands were or anything?
No.
They're so tiny, at least in the thing. Do you know what a Modelo bottle looks like?
No.
So they're like these short little fat bottles. So I'm thinking they got Steve's tiny little hands to make the bottles look bigger. because like, Steve, you seem like a very nice guy and you do have beautiful hands. But at least from the camera angle, they seemed so much smaller than I would expect for a man of Steve's size.
That was way more time I thought we were going to spend on Steve. anything else? I don't want to rush past Steve and his hands if you have more notes.
I'm sure that they'll come up plenty of time throughout the season.
let's talk about Tech, who is back for another season here. He wants redemption after going out pretty early last time. He wants to prove himself. He says he's like Amazon. He's the total package. What a great line. Ayana.
That's where I was like, to Tech. Like, maybe I want a refund. I like Tech. That was just like, that was Tech's worst line that he's ever delivered. like in entirety of his life.
Harsh. Ayana gets to get we get a replay of her line about how she slept in her uniform because she wanted to win, which is definitely another shout out to Mel here, who brought that back up in the draft podcast, and we got to see it play out on the episode. But her update is that she's a mom of four. She's got two teenagers, two toddlers, so you know, a unique setup over there, but she's seemingly happy to be back, which also leads us into Sophia. The two of them seem to know each other. Sophia is talking about, I loved this line from Sophia. She said she recently resigned from her job, and the next thing I know, we're doing Challenge All-Star seasons. And I was like, well, this is your first one. You didn't really do last season. But the way she phrased it was like, oh, now we're just all doing Challenge All-Star seasons. I'm like, no, this is the first time you're actually here.
See, okay, so the first part for me was they set her up with like, I remember Ayana. She was on. It's like, why is your confessional about Ayana? So that made me not feel great about Ayana, was really where I didn't feel so great. But, you know, and especially it seemed like they may have been closer than just like a, oh, I remember her on that show. But I did agree though, like, I worked for 20 years and now we're doing Challenge All-Stars. Like, you were an alternate last season. I'm pretty sure you're an alternate next season. Like, I understand that you're like, I'm starting the second half of my life, which, like, please, I never want to think about me starting the second half of my life. Like, first only. No, thank you. that is so sad. But I'm sorry. but yeah, I just like, we're all out here doing All-Stars. Like, is this your career plan? Because it doesn't, you know,
that's what she kind of made it sound like. She's like, I'm starting the second half of my life. Like, call me Sophia Bananas. I'm ready to go.
Not Sophia Bananas. Like, you have a 33% track record so far, ma'am. Like, this is not going well.
Like, you know Bananas, you know CT, you know Anissa, you know those legends. Like, I am here for the next 18 seasons of the Challenge All-Stars.
And I like her so far too. I'm happy she's here.
And you know what? She's been involved in all three seasons, as far as we can tell.
I think that is probably what it is. They're like, we got to at least get Sophia 1 week of work with the alternate job. So, like, she's available. We may as well fly her out. But, it's like, incredible. Good for Sophia.
So that was a bright spot for me, especially since I really don't know Sophia or remember her at all. So glad to see our future legend of the challenge, definitely multi-season veteran, making her re-debut here. Our main characters get a scene together here, John A and Tina. They get reacquainted, or I don't know, was this the first time they were meeting? John A was kind of fangirling about Tina, as she should, as we all should. John A is just telling us how she wants to make as many friends as possible. I want to play the social game and starting with Tina. So there we go.
Yeah. I mean, good plan by John A. The way that she was phrasing it, where she was like, I remember when you came in, I was like, you weren't on Cutthroat. I'm pretty sure, but
she was a fan.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Hey, like, good. I think that that can do a world of good on these shows, is like, it's like, yes, but also, are they like the, you know, cringy at the same time? I think Tina is someone who, like, you know, like she said, she likes compliments, which who doesn't? But Kate, you know, John A, do what you got to do.
I'm surprised that John A didn't go sucking up to Sophia, being like, I know you are such a legend on this, in these challenge streets. Like,
Miss
I just
Bananas.
Is that you? I mean, like, I know that, like, I was third place on last season, but, like, you were, like, the best alternate.
Speaking of alternates.
This is terrible. well, first, before we get to Casey, we do have TJ arrive to just kind of, like, check in. He does look pretty good here. Hair looked good. Nice white shirt.
Right?
I took note. So
I truly was, like, under report. I feel like how other hosts don't age. Like, is TJ aging? I don't know. I haven't watched the old seasons in a while.
No, he's not. And if he is, he's doing it well. So just comes in to be dramatic. TJ Lavin, you can never outrun your past, so be ready for whatever we have coming for you. Rawr. Everybody here, you guys are in for a wild ride because Sophia's back. Sorry. So rude.
And again, we like you, Sophia. funny. It is funny. You have to admit.
We've been recording longer than we usually do. The other alternates are back as well. Casey is talking about how she, people say that she's one of the worst challengers ever. I haven't heard that, but, I guess she has. So she
have
wants redemption. I've heard that she's not the best, but I don't know, not the worst. She wants redemption. She's 34 now. She's an accountant. She's engaged. So things are moving forward for her. On the flip side of that, one of the best worst challengers ever. Katie gets a confessional saying that last season she was treating kind of more as a vacation, but she's been training. She wants to do better this time around. And we already kind of knew where she was at in life because she was on last season, but Katie's back. Let me just keep going with a couple of these quick ones here. MJ tells us that he hasn't been on since the duel. His daughter was 2 and now she's 14. So that's cool for him that she gets to actually kind of watch the show now. Kahuta is pretty much the exact same as he left us. He's living in a cabin with cabin on a farm with his girlfriend, and things seem to be going well for him. And yeah, that was like what, like 4, so I don't know, jumping anywhere.
You know what, like, good for Casey. I feel like I really remember people just considering Casey like all-time worst with no bar, like, let alone at least Big T and Amanda have each other. Like, Casey, it was like she was the sole one getting this every episode when she was on. So I'm excited. I hope she's actually able to prove that she can compete decently. I think that being one of the younger ones in the house, she has a pretty good shot of that. So glad to have Casey back.
Cut ahead to her performance in the first challenge.
She was fine. She didn't fall off.
She got pushed in the water.
Well, you know what? She didn't lose. But no, I don't know. And you know what? Glad to hear from Katie. Like, she's actually here to win, especially if I ended up with her second to last in the draft. That is a great for me. MJ has a 14-year-old daughter. Like, I wanted to just unalive. I was, you know, that's so old.
She's beginning the first half of her first half of her life.
It's a lot. I could not believe that for MJ. And then, you know, Kahada's back. Fine. I'm not like overly excited one way or another.
Really? I think it was Kahada's confessional that like locked it in for me, that I was like, these people really could have been alternates. Like, I was like, oh, like, I just don't understand what compelled, like the need to have the people that were on the outs of last season's cast to be like, all of you were in this, whatever. We don't do that.
I don't, the all was a choice, but I think that there were people who, like, specifically, if they were to have brought back, I don't know, like, people love Cook, I don't really care, but, like, I was excited for Casey, I was, like, fine on Ryan coming back, but, yeah, I didn't need everybody.
I would have been fine.
Obviously,
to see
Sophia.
Obviously. I would have loved to see Cook, just to see her again, because she literally was, you know, one and done, just to like see where she's at. Like, if she did like the first season, if she had made it on, I wouldn't have, well, unless like she was like super compelling, but I don't know, but I wouldn't have like needed to
see
her. I
cannot imagine.
Yeah, I wouldn't have needed to see her become like the Sophia legend of, you know, having like a million seasons ahead of her, but I would have enjoyed seeing her back at least once. So and the only other person here that talks, sorry, go ahead.
I just can't imagine caring about Cook that much. Like, I know that she has her fans, but like, why? Why do you like her? Please tell me.
That's literally it. I think it's just like I said, like, I think people would like just like to see her again and just be like, you never did a second season. We just want, that was the Kendall thing of people wanted to like, just like, is there anything else that you could show us besides one season of the challenge? Maybe. And if there is, great. If not, whatever.
I don't know. But like with Cook, I feel like all we got was, and did she come on The Real World as a replacement or something? Like, I believe, like, she was fine. She was like a nice girl who competed well on one season of the challenge and was kind of boring. It's like, that doesn't mean returnee for me, but there's everyone else.
A name that's popping in my mind right now is Keisha, Big Brother. Like, you know, somebody that just like a lot of fans
she was
follow.
Dramatic.
But like anybody along those lines of like that you expect that they would have been on more than one season of the show and then you want to see it. You see Keisha come back and it did not go well. And it's like, OK, cool. So we can move on now. Whatever.
I'm not moved on for the record, but I don't know. With like the challenge, we're constantly getting new people. And like if you're having an all-star season where like, I don't know, for Cook to still be on people's minds 15 years later, and this is way more attention than I thought we would give her, you know, it still surprises me.
Kendall, who was on last season, is back. She's crushed that she went home right before the final, but she wants to make her boys proud. We're going to see Nehemiah give the welcome toast to everybody. And he's like, you know, TJ had a dream to bring all of our old asses back on TV. And now here we are. So we're going to make it a great season. So that's kind of Nehemiah's check-in with us here. But he kind of gets overshadowed by one Tech Holmes, who is going to strip down and jump on in the pool, which definitely does catch the attention of everybody, but specifically Ayana. She sees a king. She's a queen that sees a king who lets his scepter hang down, and that's what we got here.
Yeah, you know, we are on Paramount Plus, so talk about people's scepters, that's fine. It was, you know, quite the scene. I do have to, not to jump right over the skinny dipping and Tina trying to convince Leah to jump in, but she's wearing silk, so that can't happen. Mm-hmm. How mad was Derek that Nehemiah was the one giving the toast?
Yeah, I mean, not just because it wasn't Derek that gave it, but also yep. because it was Nehemiah specifically.
Like, he must have been fuming. Because probably. I, like, you understand it falls to Mark last season, but Nehemiah. Like, the relationship's not great already. And yeah, I mean, but good for Nehemiah. I think this is a great spot for him. I think that he is someone that could have transitioned back over to the normal challenge. But if they want to set him up as one of the faces over here on All Stars, I am good with that.
Okay, well, while we're on the topic of these two, let's cut ahead to like later in the episode where we see the scene of the two of them talking about where they are at with this little like rivalry that's not a rivalry, but it's kind of a rivalry. And they're like being weird in that bedroom. Like that whole scene made me very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What are you two doing?
I don't get it. I feel like Derek, in general, like having listened to a very good amount of Challenge Mania. It seems like sometimes Derek seems to think that people will hold on to grudges longer than I would expect them to, or at least more passionately, where it's like, oh, like me and Tyler didn't get along on like one season. It's like, who cares? Like it's been 15 years. And so like, it might be a little awkward, but are you buying into this too much, or are you playing it up for cameras is my question.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm sure, always going to play a factor, I guess, at these two if they haven't been able to fully squash it. And, you know, they're still a bit lingering for the two of them. But yeah, that scene just was weird for me. I didn't really know what to do with it. So glad mm-hmm. we could get it out of the way now. So more check-ins. Melinda, she feels like she has something to prove. She's married with, did you hear what she said? A 21-month-year-old son.
So Melinda will not be the math one. Amanda, don't give her your quizzes because it's not gonna go well. But you know what, I was happy to see Melinda. I think happier than I thought I would be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I heard that right the first time, and then when I rewatched it, no, she had 21-month-year-old son. Melinda's back. I guess we're still talking about Derek a bit here, because this is where we see Derek and Jody check in. He's like, Jody's the strongest girl here. I want to run the game with her. I want to run with her. We started on Road Rules together. As far as Jody goes, she's talking about how I don't really know everybody here well enough, so I don't really know what I'm going to do with working with them, but, these two have each other, so that's a good place for them to be, especially as we get to the challenge in a bit and they team up there and they dominate there. They win the challenge there. So definitely, you know, we're keeping our eye on these two.
Okay. Derek calls himself, quote, the baddest motherfucker to play this game. Sure.
Sophia's right there.
Okay. Well, mentioning Sophia, I will ask, Derek list Jody, Kendall, Janelle, Katie, maybe Sophia. What is this list?
I don't remember him making that list.
Jody is like, oh yeah, like I'm looking around at like the other girls here, and he just literally is like, yeah, I'm like, you, Kendall, Janelle, Katie, maybe Sophia. I was like, are you listing the strongest women in the house? Because Katie, like, no offense. And then are you listing who you want to work with? Because that doesn't really seem like it either. I'm a little confused. We didn't really get context here. If he is working with like Janelle and like Sophia and Kendall, that is a huge turnaround from what I expected out of Derek's alliances this season.
Yeah, I guess I can't totally comment on it. I really don't remember him saying that. I was just too focused on Jody, go girl, give us nothing. But
Jody really pulling your attention is what you're
yeah,
saying.
it's like such a lack of pulling your attention that it pulls your attention. So she's doing something right.
Full deer in
But
the headlights, Jody.
so we'll see how the two of them end up playing out. To swing back to the star of the show here, the third main character that we really should have placed earlier, Sophia and John A check in about how John A says, I'm a little bit more intimidated this time around. Like last time, it seemed, and I get that from her, like it seems like last time was fun. She was excited to be back. Everybody was excited to be back. Like that was the feeling here. But I feel like she's putting more pressure on herself this time because she came in third last time and like she can see the finish line in sight. So she's like, if I'm leaving my kids behind, I want to come here and win. As she, mentioned, she's like, I have even more people around this time that I know. So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle in the game, having two of the Cancun people here, Derek and Jasmine. Derek apparently came to her wedding, but she hasn't seen Jasmine in a long time. And obviously, we know their story. They were rivals and then they were friends, but it seems like they haven't talked in a while. So I don't know that this is like a natural gelling for these two like we thought it might be, but they're here.
Yeah, I was surprised when John A said that she looked around and was more intimidated this time. But now that I'm looking at the first season, on the women's side specifically, I do think it is a step up competitively on the women's side, especially with Jody there. She's boring, but she is strong. So I guess I'm less surprised now that I look through. I appreciate the update on where she stands with Derek and Jasmine. Because I would have, really believed that they were on the scope anywhere in between.
Yeah, that was great. And later we're gonna see Derek see with his I have aged, but I haven't grown up yet, which I'm sure you related to plenty. The three of
Except
them
I
ha
don't age.
Right, that's what I meant. The three of them come together. Derek gets into drag, being Tina's other half, Anit, which was a fun little scene there. So the three of them do seem like they're gonna be working together enough. But yeah, I did think I was like, I'm looking at Jasmine and John A. I'm like, are we? Oh, we're all good here, right? Like everybody's good. I don't know. Just it didn't seem like the most natural coming back together. But again, they haven't seen each other in a
Ooh,
long time.
I felt like it was pretty good. I feel like we got enough confessionals, especially on Jasmine's end, of how excited she was to be like
Yeah,
back in
that's
the
what that
gang.
was
Like they're all,
reassuring.
yeah. So I feel pretty decent about it. I don't know that they'll like fall on the sword for each other by any means, but I think the trouble may be more externally than internally for this three.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm like getting my own personal thoughts into it because I had a moment as that happened where she's like, yeah, like we were close and whatever, John A saying that, but I haven't seen her in all these years. And I was thinking back to like, I was like, let me think about, I don't know, like high school friends that I have literally not seen since 2012. Like even my best friends at the time that if I saw them today, I would be like, oh, like my, I'm talking about like my best friends. I'd be like, oh, it's cool to see them or whatever. But like, imagine like I got forced into like a living situation with them. It's like, I think you naturally are always just going to feel that way of like wanting to, like trust them or whatever. Like I'm obviously imagining this was like a game scenario. But I was just like, it probably would be a little weird that like you just haven't talked in so long. I don't know. That was just where my head went.
It
So.
depends. I'm the person who very much can not see somebody for like a very extended period of time and go right back to being exactly how we were. But there are other people where like my feelings have developed in a bad way. And like I don't like you and you might not know why. You'll very quickly learn why, but I may not feel exactly the same as I would looking back on some people.
Right, so that's the thing. It's just like what determining like how you feel about the person after all those years, and like a lot's happened in everybody's personal life since then. But who knows? That's the case for all these all-stars. So let's talk about a quick hit on Letarian, who's back after not making the final last season. He fell in love between last season and this season. No, not with Anissa, but good for him. Janelle and Darrell are going to catch up. Apparently, they know each other even more than people realize, but they're going to keep that close to the vest. They used to party together back home. Janelle is going to tell us that she's now a surgical nurse, a husband, two kids, and she's back here to dedicate some time to herself. So she's excited to be back here. And those are, yeah, there we go.
I was interested to see that Janelle and Darrell have this like connection that we didn't know about. I am interested to see how that plays out because I did not know where Janelle really would fit in this season. I felt like she was someone who was like kind of in the middle school era of the challenge, if not like old school, but like, you know, newer than a lot of these people, and didn't stick around for a super long time. So I was not sure how she would fit in. And I'm glad to see that she has a connection, because I think that she's an interesting character.
I love this because I'm pretty sure they were my first two draft picks. So I, right. I'm pretty sure that's who I picked. It's been like 2 weeks, easy to forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a good start. And yeah, then we get the Derek and Nehemiah scene, which we already talked about. So that's that. The challenge, we're going to get to the challenge. Everybody's super anxious and nervous to get to this first challenge because a lot of them have been out of the game for so long. TJ announces the prize. It is $500,000 and yay. Each challenge day will have one man and one woman winner, different structures for the games every week, or the different dailies every week. Some days it's going to be teams, some days pairs, blah, blah, blah. Today is going to be a pairs challenge, which we are going to see is called a boarding party. There's two boats that are connected by a balance beam in the middle. Just a little mini obstacle course for old people, which, of course, the highlight of this is watching 24 people? I don't know. Yeah, 24? I think so.
I think that's right.
24 challenge veterans wobble across a balance beam.
So at first I was in the camp of like, why are they all sitting down? But then when the first person like steps on it and it like wiggles from side to side, like, not one person on this cast could walk across that. Like there's no way. And just like, if they all tried, like maybe one person, but like in general on that first try, you're not making it. So, I don't blame any of them for sitting down. I think that if there was some feasible way that they actually could walk, like if it was more secure, I think that that would have been a more interesting challenge, probably. But how do you think it compared to last year's opening challenge?
I would say it was pretty underwhelming compared to last season's. Last season's, there was like the team element, and you know, it was just kind of like, I don't know, I feel like there was more excitement to it, especially like it takes a big wind out of your sails when you're just watching like 12 different teams competing, you know, one after the other, after the other. And like, all you can really do is hope that some teams give you highlights, which, you know, some of them do. You have Tech and Casey go where Tech pushes Casey in the water and her ball goes absolutely nowhere. and you have some people that are hobbling, you know, worse than others, and Nehemiah wiping out and, you know, everybody making the expected jokes there about his, you know, future potential kids that may not happen anymore. But yeah, so I think I liked last season's better. Poor Tenderoni.
Tenderoni's feeling Tenderoni.
Yes.
not ideal for sure.
Another highlight before we even got into the challenge was Tina trying to pick her partners, and she has a Cam looking for CT moment.
See, I don't feel like I don't think Nehemiah like looked at Tina and was like, "Ah, no way," and picked someone else. I feel like she probably said his name, but like Ayana did also, and just happened to be standing closer to him. But you know, it makes for better TV this way.
Especially when you see the results of the challenge, where Nehemiah and Ayana are going to be the last place team. And if he had gone with Tina, might not have been the case.
Yeah. Tina even said on like the after show that she like hesitated on the thing and like waited for Steve. So like their time could have been a lot faster, but yeah, who knows? Could have been a winner if he had gone differently.
Yeah. As far as this challenge itself goes, I really don't have a whole lot of notes besides those couple of highlights from throughout. Most people ended up making it across the balance beam, especially after seeing Ayana not make it. So they knew that if they made it past that point, then they were pretty much safe. Tina and Steve do end up doing pretty well after Derek and Jody had also done pretty well. So those are the two teams that TJ is going to say did the least terrible, as he berates all of them for how could they possibly do this? How could you all make such an embarrassment out of yourselves and crawl across the balance beam? You idiots, you suck, go home.
Yeah, which I like when you see Ayana like falling off and the balance beam is like upside down. Like, of course, none of them could have walked across this, TJ. So hollow, like, did they just plan for this so that they could do the twist of two people are going home
so
every week?
Sure. Because all performed badly. Now we're doing a twist. Like, shut up.
I'm very excited about it, though, because I felt like last season we had way too many people make the final. And also, like, one person going home a week of this giant cast, you know, like, sad to lose people that I liked, but also, like, guys, we have 30 people here, and it's 100%. Like, week 7.
It's a 10-episode season, at least it was last time. You need to get rid of these people. You can't just, you know, hope for disqualifications and make everybody make the final. It doesn't really make any sense. And especially on a cast where you're like underwhelmed by half of the names, I'm like, get them all out of here.
But so help me God, if they make every other episode, like, a one episode is the challenge and the next episode is the elimination. No, that's not allowed. Every episode is a double elimination. I'll give you a pass on the except premiere the and barely, but like every single episode, I will be so mad.
Yeah. As far as the TJ stuff goes here, a lot of fun with TJ and our main character, Tina, here. TJ calls them out and Tina calls him back out saying, oh, why don't we see you do it? Why don't we see you do it? I'm like, TJ, watch the way you talk to Queen Tina. Watch it, buddy. I know you looked, you know, dapper in your white shirt about 20 minutes ago, but doesn't mean you get to talk to Tina like that. And then he gets even worse where he's talking about who did the best in the challenge. And he says, Steven Loudmouth.
I did laugh. I'm not gonna lie.
I know. I was like, I appreciate like the personal touch here that like, you know, I guess you guys are close enough that you're gonna be able to get away with calling her that, but easy there. I'm watching you.
Yeah, tiny hands and loud mouth. Like, let's go.
And of course, they don't even win. Derek and Jody win, which everybody's super excited about. You know, television erupts with entertainment and excitement for this team to be the winners here. And they're going to need to pick four players to potentially go in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't hate this twist. I'm interested to see how it plays out, especially if we don't have the same people winning over and over. That would be nice. So I'm interested to see if knowing this twist, if it leads to arguments of who actually gets to be captain on team challenge days. I'm interested. I am open until it starts failing, in which case I'll complain.
Yeah, so that's where we are at here. No elimination at the end of this episode. Derek is happy that he won, especially since he, you know, did a whole lot better than Nehemiah in that particular challenge. But that's the end of the episode. That's we're going to see.
Wow.
What?
I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. You skipped right over Ryan's introduction to the show.
Okay, sorry.
It says a lot. First of all, you're a terrible Kehoe. Second of all, I his introduction being like, I'm Ryan and I don't have a boyfriend or a dog, like in the middle of a challenge, was like, I didn't think you were winning the season, but you are definitely not winning the season. Like, you couldn't have half-assed his introduction more. So I felt bad. But you know what, Ryan, I'm glad you got your shot this season.
No, yeah, I purposely skipped past it because we'll give him a better introduction. I was going to give him, you know, a better one when actually happens in the game. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Kind of went right past that one. But he and Jasmine were the first ones to go. So they did, you know, kind of set the tone for the waddling across the balance beam. So if anything, like, not only was his introduction bad, but like, you spent about, you know, 2 to 3 minutes watching them do that, being like, oh my God, they look so stupid, before you realize that everybody else is going to do it. But you did spend 2 to 3 minutes being like, oh my God, they're terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, just anyone whose introduction was introduced, like, super late, especially just, like, glossed over in the challenge, because he was the only one that it took that long for, things don't look great.
Yeah. So there's the edit zone of this portion of the podcast. Yeah, anything else from what?
Well, speaking of edit zone, who do you think we're losing? You have to make a call.
I have to make a call.
Who do you think we're losing? Who's going into the next elimination against them? Any edit reads from you? Anything? Any predictions?
I famously try not to read challenge edit. I'm also famously trying to not read Survivor edit. So there's that. I have not put even a single second of thought into any of this. I think it was just so much like everybody getting introductions. Like, I know that Derek and Jody want to work together, but I don't, unless I missed it, because apparently I did miss them talking about names. I have no idea who they're going to be setting their sights on. I feel like it's going to come in the next episode and just be like, oh, these people because they're these people.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you would like me to not, like, force my edit reads on you.
I'm not against it. I mean, if anybody, okay. I guess, wants to turn this part of the podcast off, I don't want people to go away now. They've made it, like, all this way in.
No. I mean, look, this is just me guessing. But
like, okay, so guess.
Like, in what world is Leah getting as much airtime as she did? Like, she got multiple check-ins if she's not going into elimination. So I feel like we are looking at Ayana versus Leah as, like, a definite elimination probably next week. I'm not feeling – you know, this is my read. Laugh at me when I'm wrong, but I like to make calls. I feel less confident on the guys. I feel like I'm nervous for other Derek. Got a few check-ins here. Those are my picks. I'm going with Leah and other Derek.
Mm. So I guess we'll see. Cause I really don't have enough, that I feel that I can say my picks at all. So that's all I got. So anything else on either season of the challenge before we get out of here?
Nope. I am, all my takes are out.
Okay. So there is that, two episodes of the challenge, one of the main season, one of the All-Star season in the books, another one in the books, I should say, at least as far as Spies, Lies, and Allies goes, and plenty more to come as we get closer to the end of season 37. I mean, the Survivor finale date was announced, and I can't imagine the challenge one will be too far off from there. So that'll be that. This one's going to go until at least, you know, early next year. So, you know. We have that to look forward to.
Oh, boy.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. So stay tuned here for more coverage of both of these seasons as we follow everything here with all of these legends on this season.
Exactly.
can't even try. All right.
Hey, it's been like double the amount of usual time, so...
Yes. What else should people be checking out? Anything else on your end at the moment?
Just keep an eye on Twitter and TikTok. Things are, you know, in the works, but nothing concrete at the moment. So @Brian_Scally on both of those, and try to keep people informed.
All right. Yeah, not a whole lot else in my world either as far as content you can consume. Just this one. Enjoy this one. Hope you enjoyed it. Play it again. At the end, when we're done here, go play it again. Why not?
Yeah.
That's what I'll plug. So
I will ask, if people did make it all the way through, I want to hashtag Sophia Bananas, please.
Oh, my God.
I'm just curious. You can DM, you can tweet, you can whatever. I'm just curious who, got all the way through on that content.
The way this is going to, like, hurt my ego when we get, like, two tweets saying that.
That's the thing is, see, you're going to assume everyone else is going to do it. And, like, maybe some will, but, like, feed the ego for once, please.
All right. Well, that's your homework assignment. Anybody out there, especially you, Kirsten, as you fall asleep, or maybe you're already asleep by now, to this podcast. Thank you guys for checking this one out. Follow us online @Brian_Scally for @Brian_Scally. I almost said for Brian. So I just went with the whole name again. @MattLegory for @MattLegory. And that is it for this week. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. And until then, take care.